Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hey, it's Sparky Pfeiffer. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Time out here on 1250 AM The Fan as we broadcast from the Wendy's studios. And don't forget the strawberry frosties. Oh my goodness, they are so, so good. And they're only here for the summertime, so you're not going to want to miss out on getting that strawberry frosties at Wendy's. And when you're there getting that strawberry frosty, I always recommend that you get yourself a french fry too, because the french fries taste just as good going into that strawberry frosty as they do going into a chocolate or vanilla frosty. So get your strawberry frosty today at participating Wendy's. Let's talk with our good friend, Brewers analyst for Bally Sports Wisconsin. He is former Brewers pitcher Tim Dillard. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Also, of course, does the Brewers Unfiltered podcast along with Adam McElvey and Sophia Minter. They do that once a week and we normally record on Tuesdays. So download that on your Odyssey app or over at Brewers.com. And he, of course, is presented to you by Fourth Base Restaurant, the iconic bar restaurant featured in the movie Major League. High-end food and so delicious. Go check out Fourth Base Restaurant today. Tim, first things first, Darren Ruff, the newest Brewer signed. I have to be honest, I didn't see them signing another first baseman with Luke Voit and Rowdy Tellez already under contract, but they did. Your thoughts?
Well, I think they're trying to solve the mystery of, you know, getting scoring runs off of left-handed starters. And they thought Luke Voit was going to be that guy and maybe he was going to heat up, but he goes on the IL with a neck strain and they need someone to fill in. And from what I can hear in AAA, it sounds like Keston was, maybe he's injured in some capacity and they're looking for someone to come in and do stuff. And, you know, Darren Ruff, he has, I think he's career 270 hitter against left-handers. So he definitely has a track record and an approach. But honestly, I think this is it could be a good move. Is he going to do a whole lot at the plate? Who knows? But, you know, they're facing a lefty tonight. And I think, just as an older guy, I think Ruff's like 36. I think he could be at that stage where, you know what, if he knows how a good approach against lefties, why not share that with these young Brewers, you know, put something together like that. So maybe they're looking for, you know, just somebody to come in and kind of just lead and direct when it comes to left-handed starters.
Do you like Council's approach to these dramatically different lineups and where guys bat in the lineup versus a lefty versus where they bat against a righty?
I don't know. There's a lot that goes into a lineup rather than let's just mix it up for mix it up sake. You know, guys, you know, could be hurt. Guys could be, you know, I need a day for a hamstring or whatever it is, a wrist. You know, there's stuff behind the scenes that we don't know jack about. So I don't know. I really like Yelich at the top of, you know, the order. I think he gets on base right now. I think it's like on base percentage is up to like 400 in the month of May, you know, and I know there's a lefty throwing tonight. Is he going to bat leadoff? Probably not, but I don't know. I think they're just looking for that correct formula on what to do. because for whatever reason, it is a different beast when they face right-handers as opposed to when they face left-handers. And I think they're just trying to figure that out.
No doubt. And since you brought up Christian Yelich, let's talk about Christian Yelich because he's been playing really well, especially in the last week or so. Had a big weekend against the Kansas City Royals, now hitting .258, 7 homers, 23 RBIs, .765 OPS to this point. I try to calm people down because I believe last year he had a stretch where he was really good for a couple of weeks. I bought in, and then he kind of regressed to where he was before that. As far as Yelich goes, do you see anything dramatically different, or you just see him seeing the ball really well right now in this stretch?
Well, yesterday on the pregame show, Vinny Rattino broke down a little bit of what Yelich is doing just mechanically, and he kind of got away from maybe the higher leg kick
sure.
to kind of a toe tap. But really all that's designed to do is to make sure your foot's down when the pitch is there. You know, there's times where he's late getting his foot down on faster pitches and, you know, he ends up fouling him off and now he's getting his foot down and man, he looks in a great position to make contact. But I look at some of the numbers, 33 strikeouts. I can't remember the walks, maybe like 11 walks, in April, which, you know, that's a lot. That's 44, you know, plate appearances where, you know, he's not really swinging the bat and putting the ball in play. And then you fast forward to May in just 13 games, 7 strikeouts to 4 walks. That's, you know, 11 appearances. So he's swinging the bat is what he's doing. He's just making more contact in play, and he's having success doing that. His launch angles changed a little bit. He started to put the ball way gone out of the ballpark. But just the other day on the weekend facing the Royals, his first home run he hit in that series, straightaway center field, hit it off the Jumbotron.
Yep.
And then he goes left field, opposite field, and then his leadoff home run the last game, he pulled it. So when you're a pitching staff and a pitching coach and you're trying to put together a plan to face this lineup and you're facing Christian Yelich right now, you're going, okay, we got to figure out something to do. That's why you saw Flaherty last night walk him in the first at bat because he probably didn't feel comfortable throwing him anything hittable.
That's interesting, though, because if, and again, this is a big if, but if, you know, Christian Yelich gets back to being that guy that pitchers don't want to pitch to anymore, is he better served being in the leadoff spot versus more down in that three hole?
Yeah, I mean, if this continues, I mean, he may hit his way out of the leadoff spot.
Right.
Who knows? But right now, he's up, you know, tops in baseball when it comes to runs scored. So, I mean, that's a pretty valuable thing to get on base. And, you know, people talk about, well, maybe he's not hitting a lot of doubles. Well, he's hitting a lot of singles, and he's stealing second. Got 9 steals so far this year. And honestly, right now, I think he's on pace for a 30-30 season, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. I mean, everybody in baseball would want that, except for maybe Ronald Acuna Jr.
That guy's unbelievable.
But yeah, I mean, that makes sense, though. You know, if he continues doing this, then he will be, you know, probably dropped down in the order. But man, he's just such a weapon at the leadoff spot because it makes an uncomfortable leadoff guy for, you know, for right-handed pitchers. But like I said, I don't think he'll be in the lineup today against the lefty. I think he'll probably be out, you know, one of the first guys off the bench.
You know, Tim, Eric Lauer has had his struggles. Craig Counsell making the decision to move him from the rotation and put him in the bullpen for the time being, and he came in right away then on Sunday after the Brewers had that 7-run inning. What have you seen from Eric Lauer this year, maybe different from last year, that might be leading to some of the problems he's having?
I would say the only thing is just be more purposeful with his pitches. And that's, you know, that's obviously harder to do than just say. But I feel like when you're a starter, you kind of have this parachute where, okay, you have a rough first inning, you give up a couple of runs, you still settle in and you throw 6 innings and boom, you've got a quality start and everybody loves you. And I think he was relying on that a lot because he was being very picky on pitching to the zone. And when you do that, you start walking guys. And when you finally have to make a pitch and you throw it in the zone, guys are just ready for it. When you're in the bullpen, you don't really have that luxury. You got to come out and have your best stuff right away. You know, you give up a couple runs, you may only face 2 batters, right? Like,
right.
You and that's everything. Every pitch just becomes more important when you come out of the bullpen. And so I think maybe, you know, I don't know if this was intended or not, but one of the consequences of moving a starter to the bullpen is it gives you a little bit more urgency on every single pitch. It means a lot more, and you have to kind of focus up a little bit more. But for him to go 5 1/3 out of the bullpen, my goodness, and he saved the bullpen. If they needed him last night, the main guys in the bullpen, then they would have been ready to go. But I also talk about, you know, we do the Brewers Unfiltered podcast, got another episode coming out either today or tomorrow. One of the points I brought up too about Eric Lauer was the fact that he got to finish a game. Just the whole science of being able to just finish a game, be the last guy that gets the out. You know, you get to talk to the catcher, you shake their hand, give a little hug. You know, the fielder comes in, whoever made the last out, gives you the ball. Like, that's just a really cool feeling. It really is. And, you know, maybe that'll carry over if he does get back in the starting rotation, if that's the plan. I know he was shots at him were in the bullpen during the game last night. But whatever it is, like, I think he's going to be in a good place. I think in a very small window, he was able to unpack a lot just mentally. His stuff was always there, but I think mentally he's going to be on track.
Yeah, it's interesting. You bring up the mental side of what it means to close a game and finish a game, but the mental side of getting ready to start a game versus coming out of the pen, that's also quite different, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You prepare different. I mean, it's – and you know what, too? You're stressing about the start the entire day, right? Like, you're trying to get your pattern together. Starting on the road, starting at home, it's completely different. And you kind of have that pyramid approach. You wake up, you're at the bottom of the pyramid, and everything you do leads to that point where you're like, okay, now I start the game. But with that comes a lot of pressure. You're putting pressure on yourself. You start thinking, okay, well, if I can do this, then maybe we can do this as a team. And you start playing scenarios instead of just keeping it simple. When you're in the bullpen, you just wait around. You just wait around. You talk. You talk about the game. You goof off until that phone rings, and then it's, hey, get ready. So right. You kind of just, you know, it's more or less about just almost reacting. You know, let your natural ability and everything that you train for just kind of take over. And sometimes, you know, that's a good thing. Sometimes the starter just kind of needs that little shake to get him back on track.
Tim, I want to talk about some non-Brewer things. Just a couple of non-Brewer things.
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
The Aaron Judge home run. Well, he had a couple of home runs. But the second one that he hit against the Blue Jays on Monday night, they have video. And the announcers were talking about how he was kind of side-eyeing the dugout or was looking sideways while he was in the boxes last time up. And the second time he came up, and you hear the announcer go, and he's doing it again. And as soon as he says it, Judge hits a home run. Just absolutely crushes the ball, tees off on it. And then the video that's going viral on Twitter, the zooms in on his eyes, and sure enough, you can see his eyes go sideways. And then Will Milbrooks, he went on Twitter and said, you know, based on how the catcher was angling, maybe he was able to kind of see kind of what the sign was. And then he later recanted that and said, I don't even know if he was even giving signs. I was just kind of throwing it out there saying that might be a possibility. How suspicious would you be if you're a pitcher, and would you be able to pick up on that when you're pitching to a guy if he consistently is doing something like that?
Yeah, well, first off, I think Middlebrooks is correct in this. I did see his post, and I've been seeing a lot of people post about this on Twitter, like, you know, what's he doing? Honestly, I think that Judge was just looking at the first base coach. And, you know, this is kind of on the umpires a little bit, too. You know, they have the first base coach, you know, third base coach boxes, and technically you're supposed to be in that
right
box. But I mean, with nowadays, how many umpires are really checking to see if those dudes are in the box?
Nobody.
Basically, if you're not you know, crossed into foul territory, they really don't care. So that's on the umpire if that is what's going on. I couldn't see the full shot. I wasn't at the game to see, you know, where he was. But if a guy's throwing down signs without pitch con now, and you know, if it's easy to pick up, all you have to do as a coach is, you know, you put your hands on your hips if it's a fastball, and hands down at your sides if it's a off-speed pitch. And, you know, if you're that specific, and the Yankees have a track record for picking sides. Everybody knows this. This is probably why we have PitchCom, is because the Yankees on second base, A-Rod, Jeter, and everybody at second base being able to pick up the pitcher's signs. Like, that's a part of the game. And, yes, I probably would have picked up on it. I am one of the most paranoid pitchers when I played, and I would lose it. And I remember there was a coach, we were playing Oklahoma City, it was the Dodgers, and their third base coach was right up against the line, kind of talking to the umpire, kind of talking to the third baseman while I was pitching. And I didn't like it because he had different movements over there. He was talking. He looked like he was doing stuff and maybe was relaying something to my catcher. And I asked the umpire, I was like, can you get this dude in the third base box?
Yep.
I just called time. I was like, hey, can this guy move over? And, you know, because I was paranoid, and you have to see the game from every angle, which is surprising because Jackson's been around the game forever, been with so many teams. Just kind of interesting that, you know, maybe they dropped the ball on that. But either way, for whatever reason, it's legal. You're allowed to do it. But I mean, you want to be more subtle, but I get how Aaron Judge, I mean, if you have a guaranteed shot of knowing what's coming, you know, some guys honestly don't want to know, but the higher up you go, hey, everybody wants it. Let me know. Hey, this is going to be a slider. Great. I'm going to hit it out of the park.
Why wouldn't a player want to know?
You know what? Back in high school, I think my brother was in the stands, and he saw what the pitcher was doing on the mound. So he was just in the stands watching the game as it was. We're a baseball family. It's not a big deal. And he would yell out the signs, not yell them out, but if he said your last name, it was a fastball. If he said your number, it was a breaking ball. So, I mean, I was up there. Everyone else was hitting well. I got up there, and, you know, he would yell whatever it was, and I would get so giddy. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And then I would miss it. I'd pop it straight up. And I don't know. Like, it didn't really work for me like I thought it would. But some guys, you know, they just can take advantage of it for days. I probably would now if I knew what was coming and guarantee to help me out. But there are some players that just honestly don't want to know because maybe they get too over anxious. But I don't know if I know any big leaguers. I've heard of any that don't want to know what's coming. Everyone wants to know what's coming.
I want to get your thoughts on an NBA podcast that has gone viral as well. DeMar DeRozan for the Bulls was on Paul George's podcast with the Clippers. And there's a moderator for these guys that are doing the podcast. And DeMar DeRozan was asked about LeBron James' tweet a while back, talking about how, you know, his kid would come out here and be better than some of these guys that are out here right now in the NBA. And DeRozan didn't hold back and said, hey, man, like, there's a bunch of out here in the NBA right now. Guys that like what come with the NBA but don't like the game of basketball, don't care about the game of basketball. They just want to pretty much get the check and the benefits that come along with it. Paul George then went on top of that and said, what? They got about 450 or so players in the NBA. He said there's probably 75 to 100 guys that just suck, that probably don't belong in this league, that are in this league essentially collecting a check and don't really care about the game. And I've heard that for years in the NBA, covering the Bucks from different Bucks players and so forth. So it wasn't nothing new to me. Baseball, I've never heard the same thing said about baseball. Is that a thing in baseball where you got guys playing a game because they're good at it, not necessarily because they love it?
I mean, if it is, it's pretty rare. I mean, I don't know if I've even come across a guy that, especially in the minor leagues, like, you have to love it. I mean, if you don't, then you could easily go make more money doing almost anything else.
Right.
So I would say, but in the big leagues, I mean, I think one of the famous ones that come to mind is like Jeff Kent. Like, he just, you know, he kind of famously was like, yeah, it's baseball. I'm good at it. That's why I play. You know, like, that was like some line. Maybe it was even a lie, but that was kind of like his approach. Like, you know, he kept it at arm's length, which is probably what most players should do in a way. But I don't know. I don't really feel like there's too many guys that are just going to go through the entire process because it's a year-long process. You know, there is no off-season. You don't have to play games, but you're training this entire time. And nowadays, with the way technology is, if you're not up to date, then you're just going to fall behind. It's a lot of work to put in to just not love it. You know, there's probably guys that are super good and they have to maybe do less. So maybe it appears they don't like it more, but I don't know. I think you have to love a game like baseball just because it's so long. I mean, you play 140 games in minor leagues, 162 games in the big leagues. You train in the off season. You maybe get 1 month off the entire year. If you add up everything, there's probably 1 month out of the year where guys aren't exercising or training or playing a game in some capacity. So, I mean, if you don't love it, it's going to be a pretty miserable life. And you know, you can make a lot of money for a short amount of time, but it's the risk reward. I don't know. I'm sure there's guys out there, but it's probably a super small percentage.
Yes, Tim Dillard, Brewers Unfiltered, him, Adam McKelvey, Sophia Minard. They do it each and every week. Normally they record on Tuesdays. It usually posts later Tuesday afternoon on your Odyssey app or right there at brewers.com. Are you guys just talking about the last week or so? Any guests? What do you got this week?
Yeah, we got a guest. We got Bill Schroeder, Rock, the man, the myth, the legend. Sophia and Adam sat down with him. I was actually on assignment back home with my family.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good. I mean, Rock, you hear his voice on TV all the time. You get to see him, but he is a wonderful man, and we are blessed because we get to see him all the time and talk to him all the time. We get all the benefits of his glow and his joy. So anyway, hopefully some of that spills over into this podcast. So yeah, check it out when it pops. I'm not sure when it comes out, maybe later today.
Speaking of good dudes, I was at the Brewers game, like I said, with my family on Mother's Day and hanging out. And there was the people in the row behind me were talking to each other. And they started talking about Tim Dillard behind me.
And I was like, oh, man.
I'm like, this would be
my parents.
No. It was a couple dudes and their families or whatever. And they're going back and forth and like, oh, yeah, man, Tim Dillard, man. Good dude, man. Met him in Nashville. He was down there and was at the Sounds and just glowingly just talking so much how great they are, how great you are and how nice you were to him and so forth. I was like, that's right. That's my guy, Tim Dillard. He's nice to everybody. He's a good dude. Tim, thanks so much for coming on. Follow Tim Dillard on Twitter at @DimTillard. Always good stuff. And, of course, brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. Tim, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Sparky. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.